I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Greetings, lore folk. Are you ready to die? James here with a Hexen episode, and that is one of the quotes off of the second map of Hexen. I'm joined here today with... Who's going to go first?
That's Peter O'Donoghue, I'm sorry.
I know I usually jump in and go first, but then I figured we agreed that I was going to talk about some stuff.
That's true. Yeah, we have business to conduct. It's Peter O'Donoghue. I'm not important.
I'm Ethan Palmer. I'm not ready to die until the list of requirements in my ransom note are met. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
What are those?
I mean, delete the browsing history, obviously. Get the bathtub full of hot wax ready to encase my body once I'm deceased.
Right.
Because that's how my body's going to be laid to rest. The crystals need to be attuned, but that's pretty, you could do that after the fact. That's probably fine. As long as you have the crystals, that's good.
In our first episode, we talked about there being crystals all over your apartment.
In our first episode, I know it's a callback, a deep cut, but.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you're just like, there's like a hostage situation. There's a guy at the post office, right? He's holding up everybody inside. Mm-hmm. And when he's like yelling out the window to the negotiator, he's just like, I need someone to go back to my place. I delete my Chrome history. Then maybe I'll let one of your hostages out. Okay, man. What's your laptop's PIN number so we can sign into it? We'll delete your browsing history.
No, I'll never tell you. Hi, everybody. Just want to give a reminder before Jamie jumps into Spooky Hexen and another one that he said that I don't remember what it's called.
Heretic.
We are doing a panel in Montreal at the Bar Meltdown on Saint Denis.
Yep.
On the 24th of October, 2021. If you want to hear Pete talk about his upcoming comic, or you want to hear us talk about our ongoing podcast, that's the place to be. It is being recorded. We assume it's being released at some point, but we still have no word on that. We'll tell you guys whenever we find out.
Yeah, it starts at 4 in the afternoon, Eastern time as well. Yeah.
That's probably a good thing to also know. Don't show up at like 8 in the morning. 4 p.m. EST. 2 weeks after that, we are doing a live show for Extra Life to support children's charities. Pete said he wanted to get rid of all the sick kids one way or another. So if we don't raise enough money, I don't want to be the one to say it, but Pete's going to do something to these kids. Okay,
look, taking them hostage is apparently illegal. We just discussed that. So charity is the second best option as to getting rid of children.
So that'll be November 6th. More details to come. We don't know how long we're going to stream for or what the structure or format of any or anything like that will be. If you guys have games you want to see us play, please do reach out to us. I'll probably end up playing Hollow Knight Randomizer because I've talked with some people like Oakcrest on the Discord about it.
Yeah.
I think Pete has plans to play The Surge 2.
I'm going to be playing The Surge 2. We actually have the blessing of Deck 13 as well. They're going to be tweeting out some stuff about our stream on the Deck 13 Twitter. That's very cool.
I'm probably going to play a bunch of stuff because I can't hold attention on one game for 6 hours or whatever my slot is. But maybe I'll play some Hexen. Maybe I'll play some Stardew. Who knows? But it'll be fun.
Yeah. If you have stuff you want to see us play or do or engage in, let us know. I'd be happy to do a cooking stream, but I don't know how to cook. We'll talk. We'll talk on the Discord, dear listener. If not, feel free to send us an email. contact@loreboys.com. We love getting your emails. And back to you, Jamie.
All right, so Hexen. Hexen is an older game. It's the sequel to Heretic. Do you guys have any experience with either Heretic or Hexen?
No, sir. I'd never heard of them until you mentioned them. You sent a scary picture in the Discord to me and Peter, and Pete said, oh, hell yeah, and I was just scared because it's a scary picture with no context.
I only started finding out about these games now because I did not have them, or my neighbor didn't have them on his like IBM or his Pentium 2 computer when we were learning how to play video games in the 90s. We had Rise of the Triad and Doom and StickDeath.com. But no Hexen or Heretic. But cool. Now that I'm like a huge fucking mark for boomer shooters, they've been on my radar now as an adult, opposed to when it was like cool when I was a child.
I think you'd love them. I've played Hexen as a kid on N64. It was very hard because you're using an N64 controller and the game itself is quite hard.
Okay.
And you're six.
Yeah. And Heretic.
I was playing like Mickey Mouse's Fairground Adventure on MS-DOS at the time.
Yeah. That Freddy the Fish game I got in my Cinnamon Toast Crunch just absolutely rocked my balls. It was so hard.
Yeah. I guess I had a single mom who didn't look too deep into the cover art of the game she bought for me.
Yeah.
Just as long as I'd leave her alone after work.
I love it. She's like coming home. She's just like, Heretic. I don't really know what that means, but it sounds fine for an 8-year-old.
Heretic I've never played until now, actually. There's a pack on Steam for like $10. You get Heretic, you get Hexen, Hexen 2, and one other version of the game too.
Cool.
And I bought it this week. And if you guys buy it, download a program called GZ Doom. And it'll take the game, and it'll get rid of the awful controls, it'll update the graphics, it'll make everything run super smooth. Like, when I first bought Hexen, I tried to launch it, I had to move with the arrow keys, you could look up and down with page up and page down, it was enter to use an item, space to do something else, and it was just spread all over the keyboard like garbage.
You're playing a friggin' symphony anytime you try and play that. Yeah.
I was gonna say it's like piloting a helicopter. You're like, what the fuck is going on here? Yeah. System Shock 1 is like that, where they have like an augment that gives you like eyes on the back of your head because turning around takes like 7 centuries.
Yeah. So like, imagine moving with your control pad, or with your, not even your control pad, your up down like the arrow keys. Then looking up and down with page up and page down, shooting with control, like it's this weird, it's awful. So download GZ Doom. It also, like, if I tabbed out of the game, it would revert to this tiny little box in the corner of my screen. Like, there was all these problems, and I was like, this is awful. So I googled it, and they're like, just download GZ Doom, it'll fix everything. And I did, and I'm so happy I did. And the game, the games look better. It runs just like a normal FPS, WASD, E to interact and everything. And
mouse look, more importantly.
And that's completely free, and I think like maintained by the community. It's not just for Heretic and Hexen. It works for a bunch of Doom clones. You just you can just plug in whatever game you want. You just have to drag a file over into the right folder, and it all works beautifully.
Look at you learning to be a hacker. I remember there was a time where like connecting to your Wi-Fi stressed you out. Now you're moving around INI files and shit.
In the name of playing Hexen again, I think it's worth it. I've been playing the cleric's my favorite class, but we'll get into everything.
Okay.
So Heretic came before a Hexen, and it came in 1994. And it was one of the first Doom clones, if not the first Doom clone, by Raven Software.
They're still
Raven
around.
Soft.
Yeah. One of their more recent games, they made Singularity, which whips ass.
Okay. They also do Call of Duty, Warzone, and all the new Call of Duties. They co-develop those.
They're shooter support now, as far as I know.
Good for them.
Heretic was developed by Raven Software, but was published by id. So the folks who made it.
Oh. Wow, there you go.
Their offices were down the street from each other, and they had a good relationship with each other. So they're like, what if we took your engine and made a little bit better game? Or
Texas is just like Boomer Shooter Central, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Texas.
Ravensoft did the 2009 Wolfenstein, apparently, and also did Quake 4 for the Xbox 360.
Oh, interesting.
They did a lot, They're pretty huge in the shooter world, like from the beginning till now. Like the biggest games now and the biggest games then.
Well, now they finally got their meal ticket where they're just like, it's like, we just add skins. We add 18 gigabyte skins to Call of Duty now. That's what we do.
Meanwhile, Hexen was like a 34 megabyte download. So Raven Software, like I said, just down the street, they used a modified version of the Doom engine. They added a couple things to it. They have inventory manipulation, so you can scroll through your items and pick up stuff that go from level to level.
Okay.
They have the ability to look up and down. Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like that black and white train video that freaked people out.
Yeah. We sometimes forget because, like, with the mods that are out now with Doom, you can look everywhere with your mouse, but it used to be just left to right.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
I just finished beating all of Quake, and the fact if I couldn't look up and down in that, I would have gone crazy.
Hexen 2, I think, uses the Quake engine. One of them does. It might be Heretic 2.
It's all id Tech. It's yeah. Quake is by id as well, yeah.
Yeah. So gameplay-wise, Heretic feels a lot like Doom. You run and shoot demons. You find colored keys to go through colored doors to get to the next level. It's a series of levels. I played through like the first series of levels and it took me like 2 hours and I'm like, oh, did I beat the game? No, it's like section 1 of 6 or something like that. So there's a lot of game there considering how small the file is.
Well, it's back. You had to get your bang for your buck, right?
Yep.
Like I said, I finished Quake on Game Pass and like Quake with all three of its expansion packs took me like 17 hours.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
Like, it's a ton of content.
It's crazy.
Yeah. As far as file sizes go, like most modern files, it's like not the programming of the game that takes up any kind of considerable space. It's
no.
Shader caches and you know, rendering and yeah.
I think infamously Titanfall 1 was like 95 gigs because it was uncompressed audio files so that it would run, so it would run better on shitty hardware.
Wow.
So I can't remember which one of these games, but I remember when I was researching that this came up. I think it might be Hexen or Hexen 2. When you took the disc that you put into your computer to play the game and you put it into like a stereo, it would just play the music from the game.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. That's PS1 cool. Games would do that too.
Yeah, and it was their way awesome. Of like getting the... It was somehow saved file space too because you could just play it from the disc instead of like... I don't know how it works. I just figured out how to mod games, okay, dude?
Yeah. Early 90s computer scientist. I don't know how this black magic worked, but speaking of black magic.
Yep. Yeah, some differences. Like I mentioned, you can look up and down. You have an inventory system, so you can have like health pots or like invincibility rings or things like that that you can save for like the harder levels. There's not really guns. There's instead like more magical weapons in the game compared to Doom. So in Heretic, you have like your elven wand, which is your pistol that you start off with, and you shoot little zaps from the wand.
Oh, okay. It's like Ziggurat. Cool. Have you ever played that?
I've heard of it.
It's
I've watched
great.
You play it.
That's true. Oh. Yeah.
There's
I saw one. I wanna front load this before you describe it, James. But okay. I was just watching Jamie play before this happened.
That was Hexen, though. This is not Heretic.
Hexen. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, one of the Hexen weapons was like a think of like the butt and trigger of a crossbow with like the stock. But instead of being like a bow with a string, it was a horseshoe with eyes at either end, yeah. And it shot green balls of light at people.
Very
and he
cool.
was he was shooting these he was shooting these centaurs, I guess. And every time he shot one, its head would like turn into like. It would develop a mane, like a lion's mane, that looked like a saw blade, and it would make like an upset face, basically.
The death animations are actually like really good in Hexen, like, and like that whole engine is based on making like a 2D, like a 2D space look like a 3D space. But
yeah.
With this new mod, it actually is a 3D space, and you can strafe and run around. And it looks like Paper Mario enemies because you can kind of see there's edges on them and they're just flat guys walking towards you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we probably talked about it on the Doom episode, but like every video game, you're like not actually moving. You're moving the environment around you, right? Like the camera's going to be fixed at a point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're just you're moving the world around you and it's processing as you. When you press forward, the world just moves backwards, right?
Interesting.
Yep. Some could say that you move the world every time you go for a walk. I can't disprove it. So
there's an XKCD. We're going super off topic here. There's an XKCD, which is a web comic that talks about, you know, anyway, He has this what if series where people can just send in questions and he'll like do the math and like do the physics behind what would actually happen. There's one like if what would happen if you threw a baseball at the speed of light, which is basically like it's an atomic explosion that goes off because that's too much mass for a proton to have. Okay, but he did one if 6 billion people got together in Manhattan and jumped in the same spot, how far would the Earth move? And it's like less than 1/1000th of an inch, basically.
But if they all walked in the same direction and had an egocentric view of the world, then they're all moving the whole
world. What if we all walked, what would it be, west to east?
Can we stop the rotation of the Earth?
Eternal day?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Guys, quickly, I need 6 million people. I need a couple extra hours. I'm going to be late.
Okay. So back to the weapons. We have the Elven Wand. We have the Ethereal Crossbow, which I really liked. It felt more like the shotgun from Doom than anything else. The Gauntlets of the Necromancer. You do little tickly motions and zap people.
Good. Obviously. It's like the Star Wars lightning fingers or whatever that
exactly.
The Emperor has.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. Dragon Claw, which was like sort of like a machine gun, but it shoots orbs of magic. That's all I got to. There's a bunch more weapons, but I didn't know enough about the others to really expand on it. But just to give you a feeling of the theme, some of the pickups, like it's D&D kind of inspired. You can get a bag of holding that lets you hold more ammo.
Nice.
Stuff like that. You don't play as a human in Heretic like you would in Doom, but you play as a Sidhe elf named Corvus. And I didn't say Sidhe? Silly. It's just a race of elf in the Heretic world.
Okay. Yeah. It's a silly fantasy world.
Yeah, a Sidhe fantasy yeah. world. Yeah.
Sidhe, yeah.
So Heretic lore. Let's dive into it.
Well, you're playing a crow or a raven, I guess.
Corvus? Yeah. You're playing an elf with a raven name, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
like the horse named Friday, right? From the riddle.
Do ravens fight snakes? Because the main bad guys are called the Serpent Riders in this game.
One, okay. Super fucking cool. Two, probably in the wild. I think Raven would probably like peck at a garter snake or something.
Although, yeah, you're not fighting the snake. You're fighting the guy riding the snake.
Right. Well, I guess so. Right? Yeah. 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 Do ravens fight demons?
Yeah. Do snakes ride snakes? Because if the snakes ride snakes, then we could say that they'll fight snake riders, serpent riders.
Right. Serpent riders? Oh, serpent riders. Are they just mounted snakes or are they men mounted on snakes? That's because a serpent rider could go both ways.
I posted in the boys chat the three serpent riders. It kind of looks like almost like a tablet carved into, and it shows 1, 2, and 3, which are the bosses for Heretic, Hexen, and Hexen 2 in that order.
Okay, yeah.
And they're also like the power scale goes up with them too.
Okay.
Yeah.
The guy in the middle looks cheeky. You know what I mean? He looks like he gets into some mischief.
Yeah.
Yeah. So these, they're...
He would be a bad guy in Spawn.
They're three demon brothers that travel through the universe and multiverse and just to cause as much chaos and destruction as they can, kind of like what demons like doing.
Mm-hmm.
Their names in the order that you can see them are Disparil, D'Sparil. Korax.
That sounds like an antidepressant.
It does, yeah. Subjects may include serpent riding, serpent fighting, serpent good. Spawn amaze.
May have a swollen Korax or Eidolon, which are the other two.
Swelling of the Korax, swelling of the Eidolon.
Yeah. So if we can kind of... Maybe do our best shot at describing what they look like. So Disparil first, the guy who's actually riding a serpent, if you guys want to give it a shot.
Yeah, so I didn't actually notice he was riding a serpent. I was just looking at the serpent itself until you mentioned it. But it is weird. So there's like a, I guess like Chinese New Year dragon head with horns on either side. And then he's got hands and legs in the pose that make it look like he's in a musical right now. And he's like, clearly one of the bad guys in the musical who's doing like the cool walk where you'd snap your fingers.
Right.
But there is a hooded man on his head who has a bident, technically. It's like a trident, but one of the prongs is bent backwards for some reason. And that would be Disparil to the best of my abilities.
Yeah. That trident is also the symbol of the brothers, which is only really brought up in the first game and then kind of forgotten about in Hexen 1 and 2. So okay. It's fitting that the guy who shows up in Heretic has the trident, but the others don't. Next up is Korax in the middle. He is the main boss for Hexen.
Pete, you want to take a stab?
Yeah, he kind of looks like the Crimson Chin.
Yeah, or some... Jay Leno, maybe? I
don't know. Like the Crimson Chin or Jay Leno from both of which from Fairly Odd Parents, fused with like a spider dragon. He has like six or seven arms that are visible here. But yeah, big chin, big grin, no nose. He's got like the Michael Jackson hole, basically. Yeah. And he's just very spiky on kind of like a traditional serpentine dragon body.
Yeah, for your six or seven arms, they're all in like picture frames, I guess you could say, all these characters. And he has six visible arms, but there's a hand curling like into view from out of frame, basically, which looks like one of his hands.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah.
And I'll do the last one, I guess. So Eidolon, he looks like your typical demon. He's got the curved horns on the top. He's sitting in a throne. He's got a ripped man's body with cleft hooves.
He's an ungulate, you could say.
Yeah. And that's Eidolon. He's the big baddie of Hexen 2. He's your more typical demon, if you thought about him.
Eidolon is from mythology. There's Eidolons in Warframe as well.
Okay. There's Eidolons in something else that I've played. Maybe Final Fantasy?
Pathfinder.
Yeah, for sure there is in Pathfinder and D&D.
Yeah.
For sure the guys who made...
In ancient Greek literature, an Eidolon is a spirit image of a living or dead person, a shade or phantom lookalike of the human form. The concept of Helen of Troy's Eidolon was explored by both Homer and Euripides.
Okay. He's the big bad in this series. He's like, as we brought them up in the order that we brought them up, they're like different power levels, and they even have like health pools across games that are increasing, and they do more damage as they get on. Eidolon like pulls all the strings behind the scenes and stuff, and Dasparl is like the weakest little brother, then Korax is the middle trickster brother, and then Eidolon's like the big powerful brother.
Hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. Dasparl is weak, that's why he's always despairing. Borax is the trickster, and he's always mixing bleach with ammonia. You know, classic prank.
So the Serpent Riders, they come along, and they use their powerful magic to possess the seven kings of Parthoris, who I assume are human, but I couldn't figure it out because it all happens off screen.
Okay. Could be elves, right? If you're playing an elf.
Elves being like a separate race too, so that's okay. Why I was thinking it's like humans, elves.
How many kings were there? How many human kings in Lord of the Rings? Nine.
Okay.
Yeah. Tried to draw a parallel.
Race, baby.
Yeah. So there's seven of these guys, and they get all turned to mindless puppets, and corrupt, and all their armies become corrupted by these demons. They made it.
Well, now Dasparl does sound more like an antidepressant because he's like a drug manipulating the people in charge.
Yeah. Just turning them all into zombies. I'm just not myself anymore ever since that demon lord came in and took over.
He's just a pharmaceutical lobbyist.
I don't feel as sad, but my wife can't make me come anymore.
Yeah.
So he turns all those folks into mindless puppets. He corrupts their armies, and the kings led their subjects into the Serpent Rider's bidding. However, another race, the City Elves, S-I-D-H-E, are immune to the Serpent Rider's influence. So they could be killed by a Serpent Rider, but they can't be like mind corrupted by a Serpent Rider for some reason.
Okay. So they're still weak to Serpent Rider weapons, but not influence?
Yeah, so they take the pills, and they don't feel anything, but if they took enough of the pills, they'd probably die.
All right.
One more quick aside, just because the Sidhe made me think of the Witcher elves, which are kind of like, called like Shade El, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Sidhe are Irish earthen mounds, which in Irish folklore and mythology are believed to be home of the Eos Sea, the people of the mounds. So
it sounds Gaelic, especially the way it's spelled.
Yeah, could be related to that somehow.
They're like people of the earth kind of thing.
Yeah, they're like kind of like fairy people. Here it is. Comparable to fairies or elves.
Okay.
So there you go. It's just like Irish elves who come out of mounds in the earth.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We would later find out those are just potatoes and the Irish don't know anything.
Yeah. It's O Corvus.
So, O Corvus. Okay. So the Serpent Riders, they declare the Irish as heretics.
Oh yeah!
Oh, they're the British.
And they launch a campaign of genocide against them. Yikes!
Okay, that sounds right.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yep.
So all the humans are corrupted by the demon boys, and the elves are kind of fighting back, but they're labeled as heretics.
Okay.
So the elves can't really get to the Serpent Riders. So what they do is they take drastic measures to sever the natural power of the kings. So they go after the kings themselves.
Okay.
And the elves put so much of their power, they invested so much into destroying the kings and their armies that it weakened their own power so much that the Serpent Riders just kind of walked in and took all the elders of the elves. So I don't know, who are the elders of the Irish?
I don't know, the Pope?
Yeah. The
Pope. Yeah.
Who else? Some of those guys who led that rebellion in 1916.
Okay.
Liam Neeson, probably.
Liam Neeson, yeah, okay. Yeah, the demon, the demons get that man with
Queen,
a special
Queen Boudica, right? Queen Boudica's got to go.
Yeah, this is a question for Daro. She would definitely know.
Yeah. So while the Sidhe retreat, because their leaders were being taken down, all but, like, they all retreat, but one elf decides to stay back and figure shit out, and his name is Corvus.
It's your boy.
Yeah. We don't actually know his name's Corvus in Heretic, but we learn this in Heretic 2 because the ending of Heretic 1 sends him through a portal and he ends up in Heretic 2.
Okay.
Heretic 2 is released, I think, in 1998, and it actually looks gorgeous for the time. It's third person, not first person. You have spells. You fight with, like, a staff, and it was, like, compared to, like, some of the Star Wars games where you can, like, dance around with your, like, lightsaber and stuff, some of the early ones. They did it first in this game, and you could
Jedi
do, like,
Academy or whatever.
Yeah, you could, like, hit your staff on the ground, jump through the air, and do, like, a smash attack and stuff like that. Heretic 2 looked really good for the time.
I'm looking it up right now because you're making me pretty thirsty for a boomer shooter.
Yeah, so it's not.
This one looks less boomer shooter. This is like a platformer.
Yeah, okay. It's almost like action adventure.
Yeah,
but it's really good. It's a little bit clunky still, but it runs really well for today kind of thing, and it looks really good. It's the only one that wasn't included in, like, the Hex and Heretic pack together. Probably because it's the only one that's worth anything anymore.
Yeah, probably because it's the one that still looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only one that you don't need to download some sort of third-party community-made hack to play.
Yeah. Although the review I watched in Heretic 2, the guy had to do some silly stuff to make it cooperate with this widescreen,
ultra-wide 4K.
Yeah.
244 hertz monitor.
The guy who watched the review, he was also, like, the type of gamer who just, like, loves shitting on things, being like, I'm PC Master Race, and obviously after modifying the files, I was able to blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay, dude.
Yeah. He's like a Peter, who's like, games are unplayable at 59 FPS.
That is absolutely true. This is correct. Yeah. 59, it's like, don't tell me I can't tell. I don't believe you.
Game looks really cool, though. You can, like, cast spells. You can do melee attacks. Looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're still talking about Heretic. So Corvus, who we find out his name is Corvus in Heretic 2, but we know it's the same one in Heretic 1. He sets off in a quest of vengeance, and this is where the game picks up. And you go after the weakest of the brothers, Disparil.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would.
Yep. So insert gameplay for Heretic here, which is like 20 hours of finding colored keys and putting them in colored doors and finding secret switches. And
all here's where you get the little piano interlude with the title card that just says, and then he played through Heretic, and then it cuts back
and you succeed in killing Disparil.
Okay.
At the end. The Sparrow, in his like last moments of desperation, throws you through a portal that ends up, you are in Heretic 2, where there's a whole new set of problems and a whole new set of graphics and all the rest of it. But we're going to leave that for another day. We're going to move on to Hex and lore. But cool. First, we're going to take a little ad break. See you on the other side. All right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, everybody. Now we're moving on to some Hexen lore. We covered all of Heretic. So now it's time to cover the game that I really liked when I was young. I played Heretic and it was fun for now, but it really just felt like Doom with different abilities. Hexen, I really feel, branches out from Doom as a genre. Like, for sure it's still built on Doom engine. It looks like Doom, but
yeah,
the way it plays is different. Rather than having series of levels, it has series of hub worlds. So, I don't know. It feels like more like open world. I wouldn't say open world because there is still breaks in between the levels sometimes, but it feels like you have 5, 6, 7 levels all packed into one. And there's puzzles like in one portal on the opposite side of the hub that when you pull a switch, it'll have an effect on the complete opposite side, which is really cool, but also kind of hard to figure out if you're just playing. It's a lot of like blind walking around and stuff.
Yeah,
and
cool,
it's
cool like, in theory, but
shit. Yeah.
So frustrating. Like, cool. There's another fucking lever that doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Great.
Sometimes you pull a lever and it's like, you have pulled lever 1 of 7 in the puzzle for the portal room. You're like, wait, 7?
And yeah,
thank you, Bird.
Dude, fucking Quake does the exact same thing. It's just like, well, it's like 1 of 3, only 2 remaining. I'm like, what? When you're like hitting buttons and shit, or sometimes you'll just hit a button. It's like an underwater door has opened. I'm like, there's an underwater section in this fucking map. Like, like, what are you talking about?
You're like,
in space. What do you mean?
Yeah. Sometimes you have to like step on panels that are not clear. There's like a shadow of a sword from something, and you stand on the shadow of the storm, and then there'll be a rumble, and then 2 rooms back there'll be a new door open, but there's like no way to really know where to stand, and then also know how it affected anything. Yeah.
Listen, guys, I'm a modern gamer. I want waypoints and aim assist, and I won't have it any other way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'd really just like to watch somebody play this on Twitch for me. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. Exactly.
So if you go back and if you play Heretic, I think it's fine. You don't need a guide. I played Heretic without a guide, and the puzzles felt like kind of fair and a little bit challenging. But Hexen, like, just use a guide. Like, just make your 80-hour playthrough like a 20-hour playthrough and have fun with it rather than running back and forth and being lost for like 60 hours, you know?
Yeah.
But
my God.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate weapons too. Like you have to get like 3 pieces of the weapon to put it together, which is like really fun, but kind of challenging.
Kind of in that like Resident Evil 1 era of like a weird obtuse puzzles on the PS1 and shit. Like I've played the first Silent Hill, and I remember it took me and my roommate at the time like 4 hours to solve the piano puzzle that has like the bird poem.
Yeah.
Where, like, my picture of his call ID is still him with his fingers on the television so that we could check off basically like which piano keys we had figured out worked.
Yeah, I mean, the Silent Hill one's like infamous, I think, but I think the like 1993 to 1998 is pretty infamous generally as like the Wild West of game design, where people were like had cool ideas, but the balance between cool and actually fun to play is a very fine line at times.
Yeah. A child on Christmas morning could figure this out, right? Like, oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. No problem.
I was watching a review and someone called it the Dark Souls of Doom games. And I was like, come on, dude. This game was way, way more.
Someone should find that person and probably kill them in their sleep.
Yeah. The thing, it is like, I did play it without a guide as a kid. And when I did find finally what that Switch did, it was super rewarding. But at the same time, I never really made it past the second or third hub world as a kid just because it was locked behind so many hard things. And the combat's hard, too.
And you don't care so much as a kid, and you have way more free time as a kid.
Yeah.
As an adult, I'm like, I don't know. I love puzzles. I love puzzle games. But I'm going to sit down and play a actual puzzle game, not a, I just got to go look at things in your game. You know what I mean? Like, I gotta click around and then go look at stuff. Like, that's not a puzzle to me. That's just like,
reward me for being smart or like figuring stuff out. Don't reward me for like pressing open on all the wall pieces in the room because one of them was a door. Like,
exactly.
So let's dive into the lore of it. The game is honestly still quite fun. I'd recommend downloading it if you guys like those old boomer shooters. I got it for $10 with all the other stuff. And I've been playing it this week and having a blast with it. There's like different classes you can play as, which I'll get into later. So they all have different strengths and weaknesses. But first, let's start with the lore and we'll get into the classes in a bit. So Corvus's victory was great, but the other two Serpent Riders were not on vacation during this time. They were still sowing the seeds of destruction in several other dimensions.
So he didn't deal with them in Heretic 2?
He killed the first one.
Heretic 2 comes after Hexen 2.
Oh, okay. Oh, so he gets thrown into a portal at the end of Heretic 1, and
then they released. Yeah, they released two games. No, Corvus is not in Hexen.
Oh, okay. My mistake.
Heretic and Hexen kind of like split the timelines. So, yeah. And it's in a whole different universe, or maybe even dimension, because they mentioned that there's different seeds of destruction in several other dimensions. Specifically for 1,000 years, though, which is weird. You'd think it'd be like all time, but.
Well, yeah, because years are kind of tracked by the Earth specifically's rotation around the sun, right? But
yeah.
and you put a clock on a plane, and it travels faster or travels slower through time. So it's kind of a gray area, interdimensional time.
So I'm not sure if they're trying to say that this happened 1,000 years after Corvus's victory, or they're just saying all the stories happen within a bracket of 1,000 years, but 1,000 years was the limit they put on it for some reason.
Okay.
So one of the dimensions that the other brothers were off into was the dimension of Kronos. And Kronos is the world of Hexen.
Greek for time.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
Sort of.
Yep. At least 1,000 Kronoses had passed.
Okay. Thank
you. the world of Hexen is not an elf world, but it's a human world. It's one where the forces of magic are stronger and more strictly controlled than those of the elven world. So super potent, but also super regulated. A lot of red tape.
Ah, Boorns. Took me 3 months to get my goddamn wand license.
Meanwhile, the Irish guys over in the other dimension are like shooting off wands willy nilly, you know?
Buck wild, yeah. Like, can you believe that they put like a casting limit on my horned skull on the end of a stick, and I can't keep it at home?
I got to go to the DMV later, the Department of Magic Vehicles, to register my broomstick.
Yeah. Just waiting in line, like someone like drops something and points at it. I'm not the janitor here, I'm just here to fuck it.
Sorry, can I borrow your car? I need to pick up my son's puke.
The over the years the humans learned that magic is super powerful, but it's also more destructive than any other force in the universe. So they kind of have...
More destructive than capitalism? What? Yeah.
They kind of have like a nuclear bomb type like feeling towards it. Once they figured out, like, they dropped a couple of them, they're like, okay, this is too powerful. We shouldn't drop these all the time. We got to figure out.
Okay, that's legit. Yeah.
Yeah. So From this harsh realization, a disciplined and orderly society developed, one where every citizen knows his place, and the vast majority of common men are subservient to a few ruthless, powerful leaders.
Oh, so it's okay. It's communism. Capitalism.
Yeah. Oh, never mind, my mistake.
Yeah. So those few powerful leaders, they have magical powers, arcane artifacts, and they overshadow every other human force on Kronos, suppressing individual thought and action in the name of the greater good.
Oh, it's absolutely communism. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, yeah, until somebody runs through a crowded theater and throws a wand at a projector screen.
Yeah. Right? Can you just imagine Stalin with like the pointy hat, like an owl on his shoulder, and like a scepter and a robe?
Yeah. We're gonna talk about.
I feel like the bird on his shoulder would be like a tiny miniature Lenin transformed into a bird, right?
Oh yeah, like the little beak with the beard around
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so some of these artifacts that work to control all the people, the scepter that Lenin or Stalin or whoever dictator was holding.
they have that wizard staff in a glass case at the Kremlin now. It's great. Yeah, exactly.
You can walk around it.
Yeah.
The Kremlin sounds like a magical place, doesn't it?
It looks like a magical place.
Yeah, it looks pretty crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll talk about some of those artifacts soon because they can be actually used as weapons in the game. In Hexen.
Okay. Cool.
So within this strict order, there's like three major powers that rose up. It's the Legion, the Arcanum, and the Church.
Okay. Soldiers, wizards, and priests.
Yeah.
You got it.
We kind of ran out of ideas on that third one there.
Yeah, the exact words would be fighters, mages, and clerics, I guess. But
there you go.
That's the
classes in the game, I'm supposing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
The relationship between these three orgs is often unstable. They're always vying for power. There's a lot of petty bickering.
I want to stop you here. Who says orgs?
A lot of people.
What?
A lot of people. I'd say like people who have organizations to call them orgs because it's a lot easier to quick say.
Jamie and I both work at a multinational. It's
gotta save on time. We've got so much money here.
Didn't occur to me for a second that it would sound weird, but I could see to somebody who doesn't, it might.
Yeah, exactly. I worked for a Canadian company. Never heard that.
I had organization written three times in three sentences, so I was like, I'm not saying all three of those, right?
If I say it too many times, it's going to lose all meaning.
That's it. Yeah. I'm not saying all three of those, but I'm also no way in hell pulling up a goddamn thesaurus for this. Okay?
Yeah, so the relationship between these three orgs is often unstable. They have petty bickering. They're always vying for power over each other. But they work all together and they share absolute dominion over all humanity. They all kind of need each other in one way or another.
Okay, well, yeah. Much like bureaucrats today.
So the Legion represents human military strength. They use brute force backed by magical weapons to impose a strict and inflexible order upon the people.
Okay. For those at home, Jamie just saluted.
Of course. I didn't. I'm unruly.
I'm a conscientious objector as well.
So if you guys don't agree with the Legion, maybe you'd like the Arcanum. It's the center of learning for all magical studies, but they don't let anyone in. They determine who is allowed to have access to their wealth of arcane secrets.
Okay, yeah. You gotta be pure blood enough.
It's like the Freemasons, right? A little secret society.
you either have to know the secret hand, you gotta get referred by somebody, or you have to get lucky and guess the secret handshake, right?
Yeah. Can you imagine just walking up to like some guy on the street with his like, I know it's like the Shriners, but for me they're like basically the same thing in my head. The little fez and the tiny car. It's just like go up to like a guy in that and just like do the Freemason handshake. Just like try it out.
just try something. See if it works. You know what I mean? He just gives you a nod and drives off in his little mini car.
The Arcanum has like elemental magic powers, so if the Freemasons were Arcanum and you failed the handshake, you might burst into flames or something like that.
That's worth it.
Yep. So you have the Legion, who are the fighty human strength people, Arcanum, who are the magic, like, covet our secrets kind of thing, and then you have the Church, who is a bridge and a buffer between both of them, and they use a mixture of magic and military training to maintain the balance while also secretly like furthering.
Yeah.
They also kind of push their own agenda at the same time, but.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Really?
It's a game, dude. In the game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
It's so weird. You go to the headquarters of the church in the game, and in the basement they just have like catacombs full of gold. It's crazy, and there's all these problems in the world, but they're not fixing them. That's weird fiction, you know?
Yeah. Online, you always have to say in game to take it off the edge. Like if you say like kill yourself to someone, but you say in game, and then you're still within terms of service, right? So, the church is a problem. In game.
The fucking lore boys get like the email from the Vatican, just like, oh god damn it. Yeah.
We said in game.
Yeah. United Nations messages us on behalf of the Vatican saying
yeah, of course. Yeah, because they're the little proxy state is like, yeah, we have a complaint from a cardinal. It's all in Latin, like I can't fucking read this.
Scripted Latin, all handwritten.
They share a Latin Google Doc with us, like
Lorem ipsum, whatever.
Yeah, the placeholder text.
Yeah. So together or separately, these three groups control every aspect of human life. Each organization is led by a single man, too.
Okay. One guy or like a lonely guy?
One guy for such. By a single man, yeah.
Unmarried. Like the Pope.
Yeah, eats Kraft dinner without the milk.
He's got less and less windows every time he comes home.
Bad bugs in his apartment. Had to throw out his mattress and pour baking soda all over the place.
Can't shower for 2 days because they're boarding up the window in your shower. What the fuck?
the window, might I add, that goes into a hallway in the basement that's been walled up.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes to the fire escape. Anyways, these are all things about me, and they're starting to make me feel sad. I've had a lot of apartment troubles in the last couple of weeks.
Right. But you get to lead a nation, or at least one third of a nation.
Exactly.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the Marshal of the Legion, we have Zedek. The Grand Patriarch of the Church, we have Traductus.
Oh. And like that's what you get on Thanksgiving when you put a turkey, a duck, and a chicken in a turkey or something.
Oh
yeah, you're making your traductus.
Yep, and the archmage.
7 hours to prepare the fucking thing.
The archmage of the Arcanum is Menelkir. These names, just for flavor, are in there. You'll never need to remember them again. But depending on what class you play in Hexen, you need to fight your own master. So if you play the warrior, the fighter, you'll have to fight the Zedek. If you play the cleric, you fight Traductus, and Menelkir, you'll have to fight if you're a mage.
So that's pretty cool. There's like three mutually exclusive bosses based on your class?
Yep, exactly.
That's cool. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. And before fighting like the final guy, who is Corvus, I believe. Yeah.
Aren't you Corvus?
We know Korax. No, not in
Korax.
This one.
Sorry, Korax.
Oh, God, you scared me. Oh, Korax, the serpent rider.
Korax
number
is,
two. Jay Leno.
Serpent rider number two.
Yes.
So these guys are.
Jay Leno, Alice said, like, Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, so Jay Leno comes in and he listens to these three leaders. He gives them a nice fake laugh. He's not really listening to what they're saying, but he's thinking of his own question the whole way through.
Okay.
And
the guy's on cocaine, is what we're saying.
These are all criticisms I've heard about Jay Leno. I haven't watched enough about him to know the truth, but
I haven't watched him at all, but every time I watch him, I feel like my skin crawls. So I'm just like, I've never watched him.
Yeah.
Totally. Always weirded me out, Jay Leno. Yeah.
Same.
I've never seen him do anything.
I'm a big Conan guy. I like Conan.
Yeah, me too.
It's good. What's the Scottish dude? Craig Ferguson. He's funny too. Like
Craig Ferguson. Craig is really funny. He had the best backup host with like Craig or whatever the skeleton was.
Don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
No?
Two in the weeds for me.
Okay.
Abort. No. Let's talk about video games.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay. So we have three powerful men, patriarchs, and
Ethan, Jamie, and Peter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a demon comes along in the wearing sheep's clothing or Jay Leno's skin.
I offer him some of my turducken.
Basically, all these guys are vying for power, and they'll do whatever it takes to be more powerful than the one next to them. So they all just took a deal from the devil, basically, who is Korax.
Real Debbie Does Dallas situation, you know.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So they all get rewarded with the dark gift of unlife.
Cool.
So they don't die, but they don't really live either, which is kind of like is what it feels like to be on the first brother's name, Derepsin or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Desperol.
Not to knock antidepressants. If you need them and you take them, they help you do them.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah.
Talk to your doctor.
Yeah. But yeah, so all these guys, they when you kill them in the game, actually, you can see them turn into like a pile of bones, but they all look kind of undead to start off with.
Do they keep aging? Is that why it's unlife? It's like they don't stay. It's not like a vampire thing. It's just like you just stay alive forever and eventually you're just a desiccated old man.
Maybe. It was hard to tell from like the 16 pixels that were their face to see what age they were. But
yeah, I mean, like undead in popular media are usually depicted as, you know, unless you're like a powerful wizard who can cast a spell to give yourself flesh back. Mm. Usually like liches are skeleton boys.
Right. Yeah.
And just skeletons and zombies reanimated dead are considered undead, right? Which is, is it the same as unlife? Who knows? It's a question for the ages, you know?
So of these guys, they're undead, unlife, super powerful. They're also following the deal of the devil. And they're either getting their followers to follow them in the destruction of everything around them, or they're killing the people who won't follow. But of this vast population, only three humans escape their leader's new powers.
Is it one from each division?
It would have to be.
Oh, hell yeah.
One from each org, excuse me?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're not talking about divs this time. We're talking about orgs, dude. Try and keep up with the lingo.
My bad. Yeah. Per my last email, it's an org.
Yeah.
REREREREREORG.
Yeah. Yep. So the first guy who made it out of, got away from the org is Baratus, a warrior of the Legion, or a war of the Liege.
Nice.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Daedalin, mage.
War of the leg.
Yeah.
Fighting over that turducken leg every holiday, you know?
Daedalon, a mage of the Arcanum, or a mage of the Ark.
Nice.
Parias, a cleric of the Church, or the Clare of the Chew.
I like how these guys all sound like blazer wearing like tech startup douchebags now that everything's like super abbreviated.
And these are the three playable characters. So I wanted to take a small break from the lore just to dive into the three characters and the weapons they can get and kind of how they play.
Mechanic.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you want to play this game or if it passed you by or something, this will be a really good way to kind of know which character you want to start off with. And I can give you have the fighter, the mage, and the cleric. If you're a first time player and you've never ever touched the game before, I'd recommend playing the fighter first. He doesn't scale as hard late game, but chances are you'll want to reset before you get to late game the first time anyways, I feel like. It's
decisions made. Bad ones were.
Yeah. Get to know the map with the fighter because he has the most armor. He's got the most health. And he's like super straightforward. Next up is the cleric. Cleric, kind of the first weapon you get's not great. The second one really picks up, though. And the cleric scales the hardest with the ultimate weapon at the end. So if you're going for a full playthrough and you just want one character, I think the cleric's a perfect one.
Okay.
And if you want to play the mage, then kill yourself in game. No, sorry.
He's bad.
No, the mage is good. The mage is like, if you want to play a mage and like be a mage, it's fun, but it's kind of middle of the pack. Like, it doesn't have a strong early game. It doesn't have a strong late game. It's all ranged. The spells are okay. There's cool situational stuff for it, but I feel like the cleric's just better.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
But if you want to be a mage, then be a mage, right?
Yeah, that's it. I probably would play the mage because I enjoy playing wizard classes in fantasy games.
Yeah. I would have chosen the cleric before finding out he had like the ultimate weapon, because I've always liked to, like, when I played Diablo 2 in 2001, like, I always took Paladin.
Yeah. I have a Hammerdin I'm leveling right now in single player. It's quite a lot of fun.
Very good.
Yeah, so let's start with the fighter. He starts off with spiked gauntlets, so he starts his quest with just his bare fucking hands.
Just punching
dude.
People.
he just punches. I think that's a cool roleplay choice for the warrior or the fighter, just to go in with his fists and figure it out. Next
reloading
up
reloading like cracks or knuckles.
That's good.
Yeah.
The first weapon you get is, oh yeah, by the way that it works is you have your base weapon that takes no mana. The first weapon you get takes blue mana. The second weapon you get takes green mana. And then the ultimate uses both blue and green at the same time.
Okay, so Ziggurat has that too. It has different mana bars for different kinds of magic as well. And Ziggurat's like a boomer roguelike shooter. So I'm very clear where they took their inspiration from.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's how that works. So the spike gauntlets, the punch obviously doesn't take any mana at all. And then the first weapon is the Timon's axe, like of Pumbaa
fame. Of Pumbaa.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's spelt the same way. And it's a one-handed battle axe that glows blue. It's probably the most reliable DPS for the fighter, and you get it like so early. It's the first weapon you get. And a cool thing about it, it's like one of the only weapons that when you run out of blue mana while using it, it still works. It's just an axe. It doesn't glow blue and doesn't do extra damage.
Oh, so the blade doesn't like snap off when you're out of mana.
Yeah.
Your fists do more damage when you're out of mana, so you should switch off when you don't have mana.
Might as well switch back.
Okay.
But if you're just like a first time player, you could just keep Timon's axe out like 100% of the time and you'll usually have mana. So,
okay.
It's a great beginner's weapon. There's the Hammer of Retribution. So this is like kind of like Thor's hammer, but you just swing it and a copy of it flies out. And
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
It explodes on impact, dealing both direct damage and splash damage. And
cool.
Then the ultimate, if you collect all three pieces of this across probably like 8 different puzzles or however many million things you have to do to get it, you can get a sword called Quietus. And when you swing it, it fires 5 green fireballs, which do maximum damage at close range and less as the range increases.
Okay.
But the problem with it is, in practice, when you actually use it, it's really hard to get the projectiles to hit up close just because of how the game works. So you kind of have to back up so it knows how to target the people, so you never really get that full value out of it.
Okay.
And most people will just say, use Timon's axe for up close, use Hammer Retribution for long range. Quietus is cool, but it uses both mana types and is just less effective.
So okay.
You might as well switch back and forth.
There you go.
Yeah.
Go see the wizard, dude. He's just as useless.
Yeah. And next up, we got the useless mage right here. The mage is, it's not like awful. You can beat the game, but I just feel like the other... like the cleric really shines more, especially late game. But you have the Sapphire Wand, which you start off with. That's like the freebie, and you just shoot little pew pews.
It's basically the handgun that you had in the first one?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Super similar. Expelliarmus.
Yep. You have frost shards. So you shoot like shotgun blasts of basically frosts out of your hand.
This is just a Ziggurat. They stole everything. the frost spellbook in Ziggurat is the shotgun, and it is just like a cone of ice that you shoot out in front of you like icicles.
Does it freeze the target solid and they shatter?
It's a roguelike, so you can get one that does that, but mostly it just does damage, yeah.
Hexen, like, although you guys both didn't play it, was actually really influential on shooters as a whole.
I mean, it sounds fucking dope.
Yeah. It's really good. And the people who made it are still making like relevant shooters today, which says something.
Yeah, exactly.
The next one is Arc of Death, which is really useful against the phalanxes that you have to fight. It's because like there's these characters that just raise their shield and reflect your spells back at you.
Bastards.
Or it knocks your like blade off, which is really annoying. But Arc of Death, it basically like summons a lightning bolt from above them. So it goes right past.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
So mages, maybe in speedruns, mages are the way to go because they can kill like things that take forever to kill really quickly.
Spartans can't look up. It's the classic.
Well, their necks are too muscled.
Yes.
They can't tilt their head back. They're true. Like dogs.
Can dogs not look up? I feel like they can.
that's like a myth.
a common internet. You'll see it on Reddit pretty often.
I've heard it said before, but I thought like they really meant it.
It's in Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz, one of those two films. The Nick Frost, the fat guy's character, believes that dogs can't look up.
Okay.
All right. I want to say not Hot Fuzz because I've seen that movie way more than I've seen Shaun of the Dead, and I don't remember.
Yeah. So the ultimate weapon for the mage is the Blood Scourge, and it kind of looks like the end of a staff on the screen, and it shoots... Okay. Three fireballs, which they're homing, so they like find the person, and they hit the flesh. They explode on impact, and they cause collateral damage, and they explode the target. So nice. big AOE.
Nice, yeah. Nice.
That weapon's quite good. It's not as good as the clerics, I feel like, but I don't know why I'm so against the mage. Maybe
we were talking shit about the mage earlier. He's the guy who can boil people's blood inside their body and explode them.
Yeah. Yeah. With three homing fireballs, call down lightning from the heavens above.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mage is a lot squishier. I think on your first playthrough, it'd be harder to do well. But
That's how I would have guessed would be like fighter was the easiest early, hardest late.
Yeah.
Cleric, the middle, the bridge between the two, and then mage, hardest early, strongest late.
Yeah.
But that's just based on nothing other than my brain.
It's something to go off. That's what most of us go off of is our own head. So I can't fight you on that one.
Trust my gut.
Yeah. So last up, we have the cleric of the church. This is my favorite class, even as my 6-year-old self playing in my room while my mother made spaghetti for us and just wanted me to leave her alone. You start off with the Mace of Contrition. This is the lowest damage weapon in the game. So your early game is like really not that great. But you get the next weapon like 20 minutes into gameplay on your first playthrough. So it's not that big a deal that you have a bad first weapon. It takes like 4 to 6 swings to kill something at the beginner level where the fighter dude's fist takes like 2 hits.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your little weak arms like just can't do enough.
Yeah, you've got the doughy little arms of a priest. You can't swing that mace properly.
Yeah. You just feel so remorseful holding the Mace of Contrition, right?
So. Yeah. And then the next weapon is the one that Ethan actually mentioned earlier. It's the Serpent Staff. So it's a staff with an eye on the end of it that shoots like green projectiles. This is pretty mana efficient, and it's such a welcome upgrade from the Mace of Contrition. Like, finally, you can not only do damage, but you can do damage at a distance. So the Serpent Staff, such a well-rounded weapon for the cleric, and that's gonna, you can ride that out for a long time.
Big upgrade.
Yeah. They have a Firestorm. That's an AoE fire attack. It's pretty mana efficient, but it's super slow, and you have to wait for the Firestorm to burn itself out before you can cast another.
Classic. Like Mario with his fireballs. You can only shoot 2.
Yeah. Where the enemies move pretty quick. So Firestorm's like not something you want to lean on a lot. Like maybe if you know there's gonna be a group of enemies around a corner, throw out a
firestorm. They're in a hallway. You're in like a hallway fighting, just like throw it down the hallway.
Yeah, and then switch to the Serpent Staff right away. Don't wait for that cooldown to be off kind of thing.
Yeah.
But the saving grace for the cleric, other than the Serpent Staff, like the thing that really makes this class late game is the Wraith Verge, which is the ultimate weapon.
Okay.
It looks like kind of like a cross with like a head on the top. You know what I mean? Like those cleric pieces that has like a circle with a cross.
Yeah.
it's not just a cross though.
With a circle, it'd be the Irish cross, I think, right?
Yeah. Oh, the city cross.
The city cross.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He must've got that from the elves.
Oh, maybe Corvus.
Yep.
Oh, crow.
So this weapon, yes, it uses 2 types of mana, but it's kind of efficient because of how much it can kill with just a couple clicks. It fires multiple spirits that will attack anything in the general area.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It looks really sick, too. I was watching videos of it, And I like this lore boy's canon that the spirits that the cleric summons are souls of those who fell to Korax. So it's like people who died to the demons who he's summoning back to get their retribution.
Get their revenge.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. So you can RP that out, and it's really, really strong. So like you can go into a crowded room, two clicks, and the spirits will just clear the entire room.
Oh, dang, shit. Dude.
Yeah. So it makes... OP. Yeah. If you have the mana, it makes fights trivial. Okay, so that's that was my quick lore boys aside for all the weapons and the classes. You guys can choose what you like best. Prove me wrong and beat the game as a mage.
It's not plausible.
Yeah. I'll stick to my cleric gameplay because that's what I like the best. And I've never gotten a Wraith Verge. And now that I'm playing again, I kind of want to get to it just to see what it's like so I can fulfill my boyhood fantasies.
You like Platinum Horizon Zero Dawn in 4 days, and you're just like, I'll never get Wraith Verge. It's fucking impossible.
I definitely need a guide on the second screen. Apparently, you can beat the game in like 8 hours with a guide. And once you really know the game and don't need to rely on the guide as much, you can beat it in like 2 hours or
okay,
two to yeah. four.
Okay.
Yeah. I had a buddy of mine.
Six hours of pausing to read.
Yeah.
Because you got to stop a lot. Yeah.
One of my old roommates used to play through Dark Souls like day one he'd play through it day two with a guide because he was always just like, look, the story's not important. It's all about the combat. I don't want to miss any of the secrets. So on his second screen, he would have just like the don't miss these items on your first playthrough thing going through and then just like go through the entire thing.
Yeah, that's how I play Dark Souls games too.
Like, oh, really?
So I play Final Fantasy VII.
Final Fantasy II, just tell me where the things that I'll miss. Like I don't want to have to sit and grind for 15 hours at the end of the game so I can beat the final boss. Like I just want to get the strong stuff, you know?
So those three guys that you can choose to be one of them, they all swear to overthrow their former leaders who are these undead, super powerful demon affiliated folks now.
Government liches, basically.
Yeah.
So this is the beginning of the game. You enter a mystical portal that should lead you to your goal. And all three of them enter a portal, let's say, and you just show up as just yourself. So this is how they write in canon that not all three of them are working together, that you're just working on your own is when you go through the portal. You all land in the same place. Like it's not a different starting zone for all three, but depending on who you choose, you are just in that spot.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Just you.
So you have to find Korax's stronghold, defeat his legions of grotesque minions, and kill the Serpent Rider himself. This task will be near impossible, especially since there's going to be 8-part puzzles across multiple portal rooms that cause effects that you're not sure where they happened.
Yeah, underwater doors. And
Yeah. Hexen 2, I was watching a review, and there's legitimately like a 20-step puzzle thing. And every step is like, okay, you have to go to the courtyard of the castle, but to get to the courtyard of the castle, first you have to kill this guy, bring his ashes, and put it into the mill. And once you mill his ashes, you get this thing. And you have to bring it to this place. But first, to bring this place, you have to open this wall that has a door that you never would have seen unless you know exactly where it is. And like literally like brackets within brackets of a puzzle, like 20 times over, and all of them are impossible to do. So... if you play Hexen 1 or 2, use a guide. 2 is worse than 1, but use a guide for both. You actually go in and you find out that Korx's special powers stem from his control of the Chaos Sphere. That's what he uses to warp and corrupt everyone around him.
Okay.
He's not the mightiest of the Serpent Riders. Like I said, he's the middle brother, but he's stronger than the last game, so it's nothing to spit at.
So these guys are just like ranked. It's not like you have like the smart brother and the brutish brother and the crafty brother or whatever. They're not different classes. It's like straight up like ranked by age, basically.
completely.
Okay.
And like they kept like similar health. Like I said earlier, they have health values on the wiki and they go up for each character. So it must have been similar like damage numbers too between the games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you do beat Korax in the end. Once you've beat your former master, watch him die, you go up and you beat Korax, and there's a cutscene where a chessboard is revealed.
And shit.
All three playable characters, the mage, the fighter, and the cleric, they all have their own little like bodies there but they're all in the pawn position. And you find out you've been a pawn this whole time.
Oh my goodness.
You were working for the big guy to kill his little brother.
Eidolon. Yeah, he's the villain for Hexen 2. And he must have wanted his little brother dead because this is all part of his plan in the first place.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, and that leads to the story of Hexen 2, which I think is a story for another day.
Ah.
That
for
is...
another Halloween.
Exactly. Yeah. I love looking it up, and this is one of the few that I like had to play the game before like doing it. Like I went and bought it on Steam. It's $10. You can get a Heretic, Hexen 1, Hexen 2. You can the guides are free. Go out there and play it because they're honestly really fun and they hold up today. Get GZ Doom, and you'll have a great time.
God's and Doom.
Guides at the park are free. You can just take them.
All right. So I think that's it from our org today. Do you guys have any shout outs or anything you want to say?
Come to our panel if you can on October 24th, 2021 at Meltdown here in Montreal on Saint-Denis Street, or just Google it, I guess, if you have to. It starts at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can make it, I know that a lot of you guys are in the U.S., so you can't, but regardless, like we said, once we know where the recording is going to be available, we'll share it in the Discord.
Yeah. If a lot of you guys are in the U.S., some of you guys are in New Zealand, you know. It's
yeah.
Easier for some of you, harder for others.
If you want to get into the Discord to be kept abreast of all things, it's going to be on the About page, so loreboys.com/about. Get in there. Check out the Instagram. It's at loreboyspodcast. And then if you want to donate to rid us of sick children, come and check
we're
out
lousy
our
with them.
Extra. Yeah, exactly. Check out our extra live stream on November 6th. More details to follow as we kind of like work out our own schedules to see how and when and where and what we're going to record and all that.
Who, what, when, where, why?
Yeah.
Links to all the stuff Peter mentioned should be in the description of this episode on whatever podcast app you use, Discord, Instagram, maybe Patreon. I don't know if I've been putting the Patreon link, but we do have a Patreon. Patreon.com/theloreboys. You can go there to give us money. Big shout out to all our current, past, future patrons. You guys are the best. And
the biggest shout out to our future patrons, I must say.
Yeah. Wink, wink. This could be you. I'm going to do on our Twitch stream for Sick Kids, I'm going to do a reveal of the next future patron, and it's just going to be me holding a mirror up to the webcam, so you're just going to see my webcam really, but you'll get the message. And anybody who doesn't trust Patreon, we do of course have Lore Boys Prime. Now the boys, there's been a bit of a schism. Okay, see, I want magical power, Pete wants strong fists, and Jamie's just trying to get us back together like the wounded child in a divorce that he is. So we're starting
at
our
least
own.
Mom
we're...
makes spaghetti, and I can play Hexen. Yeah.
None of that godless shit in my house. Sunday's the Lord's day, damn it. So we're starting our own orgs, and we are recruiting for various purposes. Now I am going to need a bathtub full of wax prepared for me by one lucky apprentice. We're gonna call him. I'm just recruiting the one apprentice for right now, but bathtub full of wax and some crystals, preferably at your place, because the wax gums up my bathtub, basically. But if you want that to be you, then reach out to us. Offer me something, you know, Eye of Newt, maybe some ginger root, something like that, mandrake plant. And I'll take it in for consideration. Whoever offers me the coolest thing will get to be my magical apprentice for future. I don't know what these two yo-hos, these two bozos are offering for their respective orgs, but I can only imagine it's not going to be as cool as what I'm offering to you. Chance of a lifetime.
For me, for our first strong school, just two things. I want HGH and ivermectin. That's it.
I do like that you're strong school now that you've started the Fit Boys channel on the Discord server.
If you're unmotivated and feel like beer and video games are gonna kill you, like I will, like I do rather, that's what I'm very afraid of. Yeah, like I'll kill you. In game.
I'm suddenly very terrified that Pete's already begun recruiting, and I'm behind the curve here. But
yeah, the Hexen episode was just a coincidence.
Yeah, yeah.
but yes, if you're feeling unwell and want to see if Discord can motivate you to keep you honest, to maybe go for a jog here and there. We do have community gaming. We just have like a fitness channel now started as well. We got a bunch of wonderful people all just like supporting each other on Discord in various ways. So you should get here and also bring me my HGH as well. Yeah.
And Jamie, how does the Church of the Lore Boys plan on getting mom and dad back together?
So if Pete does kill you, I'll use my Wraith Verge to bring you back to life to try and hunt Pete. So
to kill Pete.
Oh, yeah, that's a good deal.
Deal. I mean, if I am going to be killed, which Pete, you're not allowed to do unless you do the bathtub and crystal thing as per my ransom note.
Yeah.
Clear the cache. But if I am going to get killed,
clear my Google history.
If I am going to get killed in game, then yeah, I do want to be able to come back and kill Pete in game.
In game.
And I think that would constitute a lore boys.
Lore boys.
Out.
Out. In game. My name's James, and if I was coming in, I'd be coming in the room to say hello to you.
My name's Ethan. If I was inning come, I'd be famous baseball player. Inning come at the bottom of the ninth.
My name's Peter. If I was a famous baseball star, I'd want to be Babe Ruth and get a chocolate bar named after me.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Maybe say Joe DiMaggio, and then you get to bang Marilyn Monroe, right?
Oh, hell yeah. I want to change my answer.
I thought we were talking about coming and going. Well, how do we get to baseball? I guess that middle part there.
Yeah.
Innings. I spoonerismed you, and innings are a thing in baseball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.